Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Young Widowed and Dating podcast, where we discuss everything from losing a spouse or partner to rebuilding post-loss. In today's episode, we're discussing grief timelines, fact versus fiction. Stay tuned, we'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. Ask anyone who's widowed, and they'll tell you they've heard no shortage of advice from family, friends, in-laws, other widows and widowers, and to be honest, some people who aren't even qualified to give a dog a command. But how do you know what's fact and what's fiction? How do you know which advice to take to heart and which one to leave right where you heard it? When you lose a spouse or partner, it's easy to become discombobulated. Our entire world gets flipped upside down. That combined with widow brain can leave us questioning our own sanity. The first thing I would tell a widowed person wanted to know about timelines and grieving rules is that there's no one size fits all. While there may be in fact be some guiding principles, with loss, nothing is ever set in stone. The timeline that worked for one group of widows created havoc for another group. What one group says caused a setback for them catapulted another group to a new phase of healing. Grief is like that. Sometimes you just have to forego the rules of thumb to carve out your own path. And if you require a custom plan, don't feel bad. There is no set road to surviving widowhood. There are many paths to healing. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. One of the most often repeated advice I've seen and heard is that year two is worse than year one. For many, that's absolutely a fact. The numbness may have worn off, and the widow is faced with the sad reality that her husband isn't coming home. She may have been so busy dealing with the estate, notifying friends, college classmates, etc., that she was in constant state of motion. Now that much of that is behind her in year two, the actual loss and its finality becomes front and center. Please know that this is not true of all widowed people. There are some people that year one was rock bottom. The numbness wasn't enough to dim the magnitude of their loss. In year two, there may have been peace. They may have come to some level of acceptance in year one and are now rebuilding in year two, which may even include dating. If year two isn't worse than year one, please don't think that you're widowing wrong. If you interview 100 widowed people, you may get at least 60 different responses as to which year was the worst. For me, my year two wasn't necessarily the worst year. Yes, the reality set in that my husband was never coming back, but my sadness seemed to multiply when I started dating close to the 4-year mark. The more serious I became with my partner, the more my grief flared up. The realization that most everyone I met from that point on would know me and my new guy, not me and my husband. That was heartbreaking. Having people know this love story and not the one that came before him broke me to my core. And since grief is an individual process, my struggles may not reflect those of another widow. Meeting a new guy and falling in love may have aided her healing. Remember, grief is not monolithic. We'll be right back. And we're back discussing grief timelines, fact versus fiction. Another bit of advice that I often see in my widowed circle is that newly widowed people shouldn't make any decisions within the first year of losing a spouse or partner. It absolutely sounds like great advice, and for many it is. We may be so overwhelmed by our loss that we act out of fear, loneliness, or sadness. We may go into panic mode and make life-altering decisions that we ultimately regret once the grief fog begins to dissipate. It's important to do a true self-analysis before making any decision, and that goes for any point in widowhood. If you're unsure if you can trust yourself, consider bouncing your idea off a trusted friend, a therapist, maybe even a financial advisor. Know that some widowers and widows have made major decisions within the first year of widowhood, and they have absolutely no regrets. Yes, it may have been difficult to uproot the children and move in with their parents, but they realized early on that they needed that extra support. their children needed to have someone step in to provide added stability. There are some widows like myself who moved forward with creating a new life alone within the first year of widowhood and have zero regrets. You don't have to hold yourself to some arbitrary timeline if you feel ready to make a decision and trust that you fully weighed the pros and cons. While not making a major decision in the first year may be best for the vast majority of widows, it's not applicable to every widowed person. If you want to relocate, change careers, adopt a dog, whatever you want to do, if you've thought it over and you feel secure with yourself and within yourself, go for it. Another grief timeline that you may have heard, though typically not from another widowed person, is that you'll have to be quote-unquote over your spouse before you start dating. You know as well as I do that there's no getting over the love that you shared. Even if the relationship was rocky, the love remains. You don't have to let go of that love in order to date. You don't have to pretend that the last 2, 5, 20, or 40 years of your life didn't exist. You can still grieve your spouse, yet want companionship, yet want love, yet want a new marriage. Please know that love for your late partner and a new love can coexist. You don't have to give up one in order to get the other. The right man or woman will understand that your love isn't a switch that you simply flip on or off to get over a spouse. The person worth having in your life will acknowledge the magnitude of your loss and allow it space in the relationship. Whether that's through talking about your spouse, keeping his memories alive for your children, or maintaining relationships with your in-laws. If you're being told to wait until you stop loving your husband or your wife to begin dating, then that person's telling you that you're going to be alone forever. You have to remember that love grows, the heart expands. You can love both your deceased spouse and a new partner and take nothing away from the other. Please don't ever feel that you have to make a choice in order to adjust to society's timelines or rules. Follow your heart and do what brings you happiness and joy. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with the 5 takeaways from this episode.
Have you checked out the new book by Carrie Phillips? Letters to the Widowed Community offers validation and a down-to-earth style sure to resonate with widows of all ages. Included are Letters to the Sudden Death Widow, Widow Questioning Her Faith, Military Widow, Widow Who Wasn't Living Her Happily Ever After, and many more. Be sure to order a copy today at Amazon, BookBaby, Target, or other fine retailers.
Hi, we're back and going over the 5 takeaways from this episode of Grief Timelines, Fact versus Fiction. The first takeaway is that there's no timetable for grief. The second is that grief is an individual process. What works for the widow down the street may not work for you. Number 3, don't beat yourself up if your grief doesn't seem to be following the quote-unquote norms of widowhood. Number 4, you don't have to accept everyone's advice, not even those of a fellow widowed person. And 5, always be sure that your decisions aren't a result of loneliness, fear, anger, etc. Remember to do a thorough self-analysis and reach out when necessary to be sure you're making decisions from a healthy place and not those based on arbitrary timelines. I appreciate you joining me for the Young Widowed and Dating podcast. Be sure to leave a comment, feedback, or ideas for upcoming shows. Thanks again.